Yeah, I had about 10 or 12 patients on the sunitinib trial. Our sunitinib trial had one cohort, which is 4 weeks on, 2 weeks off, and generally I thought it was very well tolerated. There was some fatigue and some mild myelosuppression with it. There's also some changes in the pigmentation that some people reported. I had one patient who did have an episode of vadohemoptysis on this. She was a squamous cell patient who got treated, came into the hospital related to some fatigue, and a chest x-ray looked like there was increased aeration of upper lobe lung, suggestive of a response at this point. And then she went home and subsequently had an episode of hemoptysis, which turned out to be fatal at home. She had a somewhat central lesion as well. So I think that this somewhat makes us aware that these agents that do have anti-angiogenesis properties, we might have to address the hemoptysis issue with them as well and be very selective in the patients that we use these agents in. We have a second cohort that's ongoing that has a dose of 37.5 milligrams continuously. In my personal experience, which is you have to take with a grain of salt, there appears to be less fatigue and appears to be better tolerated than the 4 weeks on, 2 weeks off. Other issues, I think, if you think intellectually, we know that if you stop an anti-VEGF inhibitor, oftentimes that can result in a rebound activity, so the continuous dosing is a little bit more intellectually appealing to me.
Do you find that when you have the 2 weeks off, at the end of the 2 weeks, they're kind of back to normal with the fatigue, or are they still tired?
I think they're generally bounced back to normal. I think sometimes it can be hard to grade fatigue in this population because sometimes there's disease progression, or sometimes they're going to be chronically fatigued, related somewhat to their cancer and their other cardiopulmonary morbidities. But my sort of foot of the bed test would be that most patients do improve on that 2 weeks off and get a little bit increased energy.
You know, that patient you described sounds a lot like some of the cases with bevacizumab where the patients seem to be responding, maybe cavitation. Any thoughts about what's going on? Do you think it's just tumor response or in some way related to the anti-angiogenic effects?
I think these could be the patients who have a very rapid response and the tumor cavitation, and that's what could be really causing a significant number of these hemoptysis. And I think it's not only the degree of response, but maybe the rapidity of the response is what may be a contributing factor as well. Now, having said that, they did see the episodes of hemoptysis early as well as late on the ECOG trials, but I think it's very interesting, and I think it's one of the complications that we'll just have to work through like we did many of the other complications with other drugs.
Now, with your patient, how many courses had the patient received?
They had just received the 4-week course and actually had stopped the sunitinib several days, I think 5 days beforehand when that event occurred.
So it was in the first cycle, basically.
Yeah. That's why we normally would repeat the CT scan after 6 weeks on that trial, and we didn't have a repeat CT scan to really more definitively determine what her response was, because I think that would have, ideally, the event would have happened, but if it did happen, we had some radiographic evidence, we might be able to give you more correlation with what was going on with her anatomy and her response.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to our speakers, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for Lung Cancer Update.